CBA, and I think the players should just say no to 17 games, period, and in perpetuity. But the odd part of the CBA debate is, how many of you jamokes are siding with the owners? I see it on Twitter like crazy. Well, if they don't want to play football, let them get real jobs. Football is a real job, almost more so than any sport. The risk is overwhelming, and now the owners want the players to play 17 games. That's crazy. The players make themselves unsympathetic figures far too often. I know. I mean, look at friggin' AB. But the owners are monolithic millionaire greed merchants who would trample anything and anyone to get an extra dollar. Art Rooney is better than most, but he wants 17 games too. Nobody wants a 17th game besides the owners and the networks. Have you ever thought or ever heard anyone say, gee, I wish the NFL played more games? No, because it's already saturated. It's just the owners, the networks, they want more. Nobody wants a team in London, not even London. Nobody wants a game in Mexico City, except the owners. They want more. So, root for the players on this. Back the players on this. Go union. Because the football owners have cheated NFL players and bullied NFL players and railroaded NFL players, and broken NFL players, and now the owners want more. Same as it ever was. If you're listening, and you think the players already make too much, and they should get a real job, and they're so lucky to play a game for a living, and blah, 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 guess what, jerky?
You just made the list!
The list brought to you by Matt Mertz Plumbing. Count on a name you can trust. Dial 412-367-0815. They'll take care of all your plumbing needs. I can't believe that people don't understand how much money the owners have compared to the players. How wide the disparity is in terms of wealth. The players get paid good. The owners are wealthy. There's a big difference. Football puts its players at risk more than any other sport. It breaks their bodies. It breaks their brains. If any sport deserves to have its performers get guaranteed contracts, it's the NFL. And it's the only one that doesn't. Just crazy. Let's go to James in the car. James, you're on with Mark.
Mark, I'm with you. I don't think that they should add another game to the schedule, but what about adding another week to the schedule where the players get an extra bye week? There's another week where the networks can still show football, and the players don't play another game, but they add another week. They add another playoff
spot.
Let
me tell
you
what you could do. You could make the schedule 19 weeks with three byes.
Right, something like that where they're still playing on TV more, they're still making the network money, but they're not putting the players at any additional risk.
Well, you see, I think they enjoy putting the players at additional risk. I think they enjoy having the players under their thumb. I think they like that they can break the players and the players are too dumb to resist. I really do.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you. And like I said about Art Rooney, he's better than most of them, but he wants a 17th game just like all the rest. And if Dan Rooney were alive, guess what he'd want? A 17th game. If Art were alive and it were the 60s, he wouldn't want a 17th game because then they'd be 0-17. Art Sr. Let's go to Nick in the truck. Nick, you're on with the Super Genius.
Hey, Mark. Just like in Entourage, the players would be able to buy the Maserati, but the owners can own the entire dealership. So you're absolutely right. But I wanted to talk to you about your concept of AB. Unfortunately, I think Pittsburgh, if it would happen, which we know it won't, Pittsburgh fans would welcome him with open arms.
I don't think so, no.
I believe they would simply because you're talking about a fan base that keeps believing in the Pirates the Pirates organization.
Yeah, they see the Pirates as the poor underprivileged kid who lives on the corner, and they want to slip him a nickel.
And as soon as AB gets back, well, I shouldn't say this like it's happening, but they would feel the same way. Oh, because they would rather have him on once he's here and back.
How long would it take AB to blow it, though? How long would it take for him to get the time to turn on him once again, even assuming what you're saying could be right?
I would think, and for me, if it ever happened, I would trust that the Rooneys, because I think this is going to happen, they would have to have an ironclad contract that would give AB no room to move.
Well, they're not bringing him back under any circumstances. Second off, indulging your hypothetical situation, AB wouldn't care about that contract. AB wouldn't need room to move contractually. He'd just act like AB. When was the last time he acted like a contract meant anything? Look at what happened in Oakland.
I'm sorry for not being able to answer that yet, because I'm going to talk about the one thing you just said. I think with the fact that AB a couple weeks ago faked an apology, I think he's desperate, and I think he would do anything he could at first to get back on the scene.
That's exactly right, at first, but then he'd blow it. And everybody knows that, which is why he's not ever going to get another chance, especially with the Steelers. Let's go to Jason in Freedom. Jason, you're on with Mark.
Double M. Hey, talking about extorting money off of children, let's talk about college football, how all these guys have to sit there and play and don't get anything, but yet the owners make billions of dollars.
Yeah, and when were we talking about that?
Yeah, well, I'm just saying that.
Go get your own show, then you can pick the topic. Here's another typical Penguin fan on Twitter about Matt Murray. I don't think he wins two cups without the flower. Yeah, what about that time in 2016 where he won 15 games and the other one got won by Jeff Zatkoff? You think Flower made sure Murray won that one? For the love of God. I know you all have crushes on Flower, both hetero and homosexual, and he's a good-looking guy. And he's very charismatic and popular, but I understand a little people who bitch about Murray because he's not quite been the goalie he was back when for much of the last 2 years. He's been inconsistent. Now, since January, he's played great. Like I said, inconsistent. But to act like he didn't do what he did is just despicable. He won two cups and he won 15 games in 2016. As soon as Zatkoff won that first game and Murray got back healthy, he was off to the races. And let's not forget, he pitched two shutouts to end the playoffs in 2017, a year in which Flower definitely did contribute, but it wasn't him putting the zeros up at the end. 412-333-9939. We got Andrew Brand at the bottom of the hour, so you want to talk hockey or CBA? I'm disappointed we haven't gotten any David Ortiz talk. I think he's a piece of crap. I think he got shot on the streets in Dominican for a reason. He tested positive for steroids. How can he criticize Mike Fiers for whistleblowing? Everybody loves it when somebody whistleblows on Trump. On the Houston Astros, not so much. 412-333-WXDX. It's the Mark Madden Show on 105.9.
5.9.
Here is some incredible news. Remember that movie that was supposed to premiere this past September called The Hunt? It was about people getting kidnapped and spirited to Czech Republic and being hunted by rich humans. You know, they said it was too much of a metaphor for the Trump administration or the divide between rich and poor. For whatever reason, the new sissy pants America didn't want to see it. But now in March, we get to see it. It's going to come out. And I will definitely go to see that movie. I've often hunted human beings. Us rich people can do that. 412-333-9939. Leaves the line open at 412-333-WXDX. That Darren Revell tweet was quite to the point, quite damning for that CBA proposal. He says it's the worst CBA proposal he's seen in sports, except for when the NHL players had to take what they could get after the lockout year back in 2005. I can't imagine the players will take it. But the NFL owners are kind of saying take it or leave it. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Don't forget, I'm at the Rail Yard Sunday to watch the Penguin game against Washington. That'll be great. I'll be there as a fan. IWC Wrestling tomorrow night at Courttime Sports Center in Elizabeth. My buddy's kid, he's my buddy now, Brian Pillman Jr., is on that card. We hope to have Brian on the show, but he's in Qatar wrestling today. He's going from Qatar today to Elizabeth tomorrow. That's a long distance covered between shows. I'm not sure I ever did that for WCW. Or wait, hold on. I got to figure I came close. I did a Nitro in L.A. And then we did a bunch of shows in Australia. But I don't know. I think there were a couple days between shows. So Qatar one day, Pittsburgh the next is pretty impressive. Let's go to Malone in Fox Chapel. Malone, you're on with the Super Genius.
Hey, Mark. Hey, you were talking about Ortiz. I clearly remember a time in his early 30s, and I think this was after he got busted for PEDs. He had a sharp decline in performance, followed immediately in his mid to late 30s by returning back to his original...
Well, if he didn't test positive, we don't know, but he did test positive in what was called the survey year. They tested MLB players, but there would be no punishment if they tested positive. They wanted to see how many tested in the red, so they knew whether testing was necessary or not. And Ortiz was one of those who did test positive. But after that, he didn't. So, you see, I'm a big believer in that whatever the test says is what happened. I don't believe in that, you know, witness and common sense and hat size stuff. I think the only thing that matters is what you do when you test, when you pee into a cup.
Yeah, I got you. I hear what you're saying, but there's a clear indication of PEDs when you have a sudden improvement in performance when your age would dictate otherwise and you have shown otherwise.
What about when Mario came back in 2000 and, like, dominated the league for a couple years after not having played for 3.5, and I know for a fact he didn't use anything?
No, I mean, I don't...
Well, the point is sometimes it can happen. It can't always be traced to PEDs, and you should never assume that. It's not fair to assume that. Not for anybody, not even a scumbag like Ortiz. All Mario did when he came back was stop having French fries with his club sandwich. Actually, I'm not even sure he did that when he came back. Remember, that was his line back in the first part of his career. He said he started to prepare for the season a month before training camp by not having French fries with his club sandwich. I could go for a club sandwich right now, or a Reuben. You guys like Reubens? You know what I don't like about Reubens? Reubens have sauerkraut and Thousand Island dressing on them. Almost every Reuben I've ever had has too much of both. A little of both goes a long way. Let's go to Bob in the truck. Bob, you're on with Double M.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Mark.
Right, Bob.
Hey, question. In comparison to the XFL and the NFL, they're playing the same game and assuming the same risks. Obviously, the NFL has a higher caliber of talent. But do you know what the salary cap is for the XFL?
How's that at all relevant to what we're talking about?
Because they're assuming the same risk at $50,000.
Yep, and they're not as good.
Okay, well, when you're putting the jersey on, you're playing for the team.
But they're not as good. Okay, you get paid in sports based on the caliber player you are. You're trying to draw a parallel between risk taken by XFL players and NFL players, and it might be similar, but you're not paid based on the risk. You're paid based on the talent level. Any of that sink in?
I don't necessarily agree with our...
Well, okay, it's not a matter of agreeing. You're wrong. Okay, you're acting like the XFL guys are playing the same game. They're playing the same game only by the most strict definition.
Yeah, but it is former NFL players.
You're right. They should be paid the same. Anything else? I mean, bro, I can't tell you how wrong or how stupid or how much I'd like to slap you across the face, so I'll just agree with you. How's that? Can we wrap it up?
Yeah, we can wrap it up.
You're totally right. Congratulations. You got the best of me. Go tell your friends if you have any. Go tell your wife, oh, I'm sure you don't have that. Actually, you probably do, and I bet she's a pistol. Let's go to Lou in Neville Island. Lou, you're on with Double M.
Mark, if you want to say there was an overreaction to last night's game, which I'll agree with, wouldn't you say there was a bit of an overreaction on the positive side to the victory Tuesday?
No.
Because if they were truly as good as everybody said,
no.
They would never lose on Thursday.
No. What do you mean by that, they'd never lose on Thursday? What the frick are you talking about? It's 82 games. Once in a while you have a game like that. They would never lose a game like that. What the frick are you talking about? The Maple Leafs are probably going to sneak in the playoffs. So you say if they played the Leafs in the playoff series, it would be a travesty if they didn't sweep them.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying after they have a victory like Tuesday, people go overboard just like they
Nobody went overboard.
When they lose.
Nobody went overboard.
On the goalie rotation, if they sweep to the division championship with the same program, don't you think it'd be tough to switch that right before the playoffs if it ends up like they win 70% of their games? Wouldn't it be a thought to, okay, maybe let's rotate?
Well, you said they should never lose any of their games. Shouldn't they win 100% of their games?
70%, I'll be happy with.
Rarely have I gotten two callers in a row so dopey. Thank you for the call. Should they continue the goalie rotation in the playoffs? They won't. The Islanders rotated all last year, and they went with Lehner in the first round against the Penguins, and they swept the Penguins, so seems to me like it worked. I'm just amazed by some of the stupidity. That guy just now was so stupid, I forgot how stupid the other guy was before. I forgot what we talked about. Because I was going to rip him a new one after the fact because I was so hot. Oy. All right, up next, we'll talk NFL-CBA with Andrew Brandt. He covers football for SI.com, the Monday Morning Quarterback. You know, I've had people tell me that the way I act towards stupid callers will eventually make me lose my listeners. Well, we just got the ratings. That hasn't happened. And secondly, if I lose listeners based on treating stupid people like they're stupid, I will go to the unemployment line with the biggest smile on my face you could possibly imagine. Boy, and that's what makes me different than most of the jamokes in this town who do what I do. They'll smile and laugh and root for the home team and treat dumb callers like they're have something intelligent to say. I just won't do that. Never. Never have, never will. Anyway, Andrew Brandt up next, 105.9.
This is 105.9.
The NFL players and NFL owners are fussing over a new CBA with over a year to go on the old CBA. That's one of many kind of screwy things about the whole situation. Joining me now to discuss, from SportsIllustrated.com, the Monday Morning Quarterback site specifically, he is Andrew Brandt. Andrew, why are the NFL owners so hell-bent on getting the players to agree to the CBA now? Like I said, there's over a year to go on the old CBA.
Well, we can talk about the why. I think the fact they are is the big important point here. And the players need to use that as leverage. And in my opinion, I don't think they've leveraged that enough with the deal that we're talking about that they may vote on. As to why, I think it comes down to wanting to go to the TV networks and say, hey, we got labor peace. We got no possibility of a lockout or strike in 2021. We're all good. And sponsors and networks want to buy into a product that's not going to be interrupted. Again, the players in a league where they never have leverage have some leverage due to that.
Is the CBA as proposed by the owners a take-it-or-leave-it thing? The owners are certainly implying that, but it's hard to believe that's actually the case, Andrew.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that. If it was 2021 instead of 2020, there you could say that, because the deal would be expiring within days. But we got 13 months. And what exactly, as I just tweeted, what exactly is the risk of turning down this deal with 13 months to go? I know the owners, people would say, oh, you got to do it now. May not be back. You know, we'll walk away. We'll lock you out. But they'll lock you out in 13 months, really, when you still need the media to buy into labor peace? So, again, as a negotiator myself, I'm looking at it and say, if it's, you know, if it's take it or leave it, okay, we'll leave it. We'll see if that's real in a month, in a week, in a month, in 2 months, in 6 months, in 12 months.
I totally agree. I've never heard of any union really agreeing to a CBA when the old one has over a year to run. But maybe this is different, Andrew, because are the players willing to take on a work stoppage? Because they almost never are.
Well, again, I think before we answer that, we have to recognize we're 13 months away. I don't know the answer to that. You know, obviously everyone's going to sit there and listen to me and listen to you and say, no, they can't. There are too many players. It's not basketball. It's football, short careers. Yeah, they got to get in. But I give some kudos to the players for not voting in this deal today, because there was some pressure by the union to take it. Yet players have resisted, at least at the higher levels. Now, the NFL is smart. Part of this deal is offering $100,000 increase to minimum salaries. Maybe half the league makes minimum salaries. And they're going to turn down a chance to make $100,000 more this year. And I know that's enticing. But it's kind of like the way that the NFL teams do player contracts. They offer a nice signing bonus, but then they get the guy locked up for years at terms they like. It's really the same strategy here.
What are some of the things you don't like about the CBA from a player's perspective, Andrew?
The first thing is what I just mentioned is the term. I don't know why they need to do a 10-year deal. The economics with media deals, not only broadcast, but digital media, are going to change dramatically in the next 2 years. And then you're looking at a much different state. Now, the NFL will tell you the players will share that revenue, the players will be part of it. But if I'm the players, I don't want to get locked in for 10 years not knowing the environment. What's going to happen with gambling revenues? What's going to happen with biometric data revenues? What's going to happen with all kinds of analytics? You know, we're in a changing world, and the world looks so much different 5 years ago than now, and I don't know why they can't negotiate an out, maybe even a mutual out. League can get out, players can get out after 3, 4, 5 years if they need to do a 10-year deal. 10-year deal is great for the owners. I don't think it's great for the players. That's number one. Number two, the key thing here is the revenue split. For giving up 17th game, they're getting a better revenue split going from 47 to 48 to 48.5, the players' version. Gosh, you would just love that to be 50-50, even if it took to the 6th, 8th year of the 10 years. But it goes to 48.5 by 2021, and then it just sticks. And I don't know why that can't go higher. And listen, these are not outrageous asks by the players. There's some other deal terms that I would really quibble with, too. But, you know, those are some big ones.
I couldn't put it better. I agree with both those the facets you cite. There's a couple other things I know the owners just wouldn't give in on, but let me bounce them off you. I want the franchise tag eliminated. I know they're going to limit it to one per team and not two, but as long as the team can tag, free agency can't be totally free.
Not even mentioned in the deal points, you know, by the NFLPA. Not even a mention. And I totally agree with you. I've written on this. I've talked on TV about this, that franchise tag is not just about those 10 players a year. It's about holding up the market at the top of the market. And if you can take these guys off the market, you're setting the market. So franchise tag has incredible value for the owners. And as I said, not even a consideration in this negotiation.
Andrew, has the union given up on trying to get guaranteed money for contracts? It seems they have, but all the other big-time sports guarantee the money.
Yeah, to be fair, you know, listen, we're talking about collective bargaining right now. There's nothing in the baseball or basketball collective bargaining agreements that said teams have to guarantee. It's a function of individual contract negotiations. But if you have more money, you know, if the revenue split was 50-50, they'd have more money. Then they'd have more guarantees. It's all related. I think the guarantees have to come from the stars. I really do. You know, if Pat Mahomes gets a new contract, can he get a full guarantee? Can he get 5 years? And then Prescott, and then the next guy. That's how it's going to start.
We're talking to Andrew Brand of SI.com here on the Mark Madden Show. Does anybody want more football besides the owners and networks? I don't sense the fans care very much or are clamoring for a 17th game.
Well, it's being sold as, hey, get rid of one of these preseason games, which no one cares about, and get another game and go into mid-February, President's Day weekend, be exciting, I guess. I mean, people seem to like the extra playoff game. You know, now instead of wild card weekend having four games, they'll have six games. Yeah, but you know, your point is right. This is a creep. And I don't mean that in terms of a vile person. This is a creep. We are gonna get to 18. You know,
yes.
Going to 17 is just a creep. It's a creep to 18, whether that takes 10 years or 15 years or 20 years. That's where this is going.
Well, I agree. And that's why if I'm the players, if I'm adding the 17th game, I want a lot more than I'm being offered.
Yeah, and listen, there's other things like minimum spending. I think that's deficient. You know, the one area that's always improved with this group of players and this ownership is practice time. I mean, that's the easiest thing they negotiate every time is like reduce practice and reduce hitting and less pads and all that. That's now a given in these negotiations. And you know what? Owners like it. And players like it. The people who don't like it are the coaches, and the coaches aren't part of this. And the coaches they're calling me today to complain about it. I'm like, dude, you're not part of this. And your owners are selling you out because it's an easy give to the players to give them more time off in April and May. Who cares about that? So that's where we are on that.
Now, the players get to smoke pot without fear of suspension under the new CBA. How much of a gain does the union consider that? Because to me, it shouldn't be a focal point at all, but I kind of feel like it is.
Not entirely smoke pot free and clear, but almost. The 4-month window is reduced to 2 weeks, the testing window. And it's vague, but it sounds like no suspensions. So maybe fines for testing over the limit. But you're right, it's gotten close to nothing at all. But again, you could quibble from the player's point of view and just say, why is it there at all? You know, why have a 2-week period and fines? Why not just get rid of everything? So we'll see.
Does the expanded playoff format figure a lot into this? Because the league seems to feel it imposed that unilaterally, doesn't it?
It does. And, you know, truth be told, they feel behind closed doors they can impose a 17th game unilaterally, but they would never do it, cause too much strife. But clearly they feel the playoff thing, and I don't sense pushback from the players on the extra playoff game. I really don't. I mean, I think that's just, you know, one team is added, two teams total, you know, one team each day of wild card weekend, one team each conference. And the second team doesn't get a bye. That's a change. But beyond that, it's relatively minor.
The Super Bowl would be President's Day weekend if the league goes mm-hmm. to 17 games over 19 weeks. How long is too long? I mean, you're bumping the Daytona 500 somewhere else. You're trampling a whole lot if you go that long.
Yeah, I talked to someone who said so much for the XFL.
Oh, yeah,
the
good
XFL,
point.
XFL got a lot of boost these past 2 weeks. And, you know, then would they push back to March, and then they're starting right around March Madness. So, you know, there are a lot of ripple effects because the NFL is the behemoth in sports. You know, this brings us back to the biggest point of all. The NFL wants to get to these TV deals. That is the golden pot at the end of the rainbow. And this is the players' leverage. I have never talked to you or any of the media I do all the time and said, I think the players have leverage over the owners. I've never said that. And now I'm saying it because it's very clear to me how much the owners want to do this deal, more than the players. And that's leverage. If everyone listening, think about a negotiation they've had where the other side wants to do it more than you. You have leverage. So, whoever's leading that charge, Demaurice Smith, Richard Sherman, they've got to understand this is right. And I don't think it's going away, because why would it go away? The NFL still needs the TV deals. And they need to tell ESPN and CBS and ABC and Fox that we're going to have 10 years of labor peace. So I don't think it's going away.
Finally, Andrew, what's your best bet? You seem ahead of the curve on all this. How will this play out in the immediacy?
I think and hope NFLPA leadership does not succumb to the feeling that this is take it or leave it, and comes back with some changes. Now, if they're told, no way, that was it, take it or leave it, they've got to have the fortitude to say, okay, we'll talk later on. Maybe that's in August. Maybe that's in July. Maybe that's in January. But they've got the benefit of time. I hope that. I think it's still a chance that the players ratify this deal next week in Indy. I don't know. I'd put that probably at 50-50 right now.
Andrew, thanks so much. Fabulous insight. I enjoy your coverage on this and really the whole NFL, and I hope we talk again soon.
Thanks, Mark.
That is Andrew Brandt. Check him out at SI.com. That's a great segment, extremely informational. And now we'll go totally in the opposite direction with Ask Mark Anything. 412-333-WXDX, Ask Mark Anything. Here's something I'm just reading. Penn State settled with the Paterno family today. Not sure we'll have time to get into details of that. Might have to save that for next week. But Penn State settled with the Paterno family today. 105.9 The X. Terrible!
The X at 105.9.
Today, I think, is the exact day, the exact anniversary of the U.S. beating the Soviets in 1980. So way to go, Herb and Craig, all you guys. Time not to ask Mark Anything, brought to you by the Pittsburgh Penguins. Get your tickets at PittsburghPenguins.com. Don't forget, I'm at the Rail Yard in Bridgeville on Sunday to watch the Penguins and the Capitals. Let's go to Bernie from Parts Unknown. Bernie, ask Mark Anything.
Mr. Madden, super genius. I have a question. I think the trefoils are the worst Girl Scout cookie. What say you?
What are the trefoils?
They're the shortbread.
Oh, they're the only good ones.
Girl Scout logo.
They're the only good ones. The only Girl Scout cookie I like is the shortbread, the trefoil. So you, sir, are wrong. How dare you? Let's go to Diamond Dave on Route 8. Diamond, you're on with Double M.
How you doing, Madden?
What up?
Hey, I wanted to know your take on the XFL going in the third week. I know the first week you was very, very crucial of them, and I just like to hear
very what?
The take back. You're very critical. You didn't like them. You said
I still don't like them. It still stinks.
Well, the ratings are in.
Okay, you watch it. I won't. Thank you for the call. Just because somebody watches something, a lot of people watch something, doesn't mean it doesn't stink. The XFL stinks. It's awful football. Let's go to Dave in the car. Dave, ask Mark Anything. Dave, you there?
Hey, what up, big dog?
What up?
Hey, question about prime rib. How do you like your prime rib? Do you like to eat it straight up, or do you like a certain dipping sauce with it?
I like it medium with horseradish sauce. Not horseradish straight, but the creamy horseradish.
So prepared horseradish then with the mayo and...
I don't know if it's mayo. I think it's sour cream and horseradish, isn't it? I don't know what it is, but it's creamy horseradish. Let's go to Jerry in Blonox. Jerry, you're on with Double M.
Uh-huh, yep.
What up?
Mark, have you given up?
Given up on what?
Just given up. You seem to be pretty ornery lately.
Oh, no, far from it. I've not given up.
Glad to hear it.
I think being ornery is a sign of life. Let's go to Brandon in Oakland. Brandon, ask Mark anything.
What up, man?
What up, man?
Do you think Gordon Ramsay would make a good NHL coach?
Why do you say that? Because I suspect he would.
He just seems like he knows what he wants. He doesn't like bland food, so I don't think he'd want bland hockey.
I think he'd be a better coach than Mike Johnson was for the Penguins.
I totally agree.
Let's go to Ray in Breckenridge. Ray, you're on with Double M. Ask Mark anything.
Yeah, I was wondering, at the end of a penalty kill on a clear, what point does it become an icing? As soon as the player hits the ice, or?
The minute the clock expires from the penalty.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Let's go to Harry in the Hill. Harry, ask Mark anything.
Yes, Mark, have you ever eaten the entire 58-ounce Totten's prime rib?
No, and I love the Totten's prime rib, but I haven't had it in too long. This diner in Wexford.
10 people have done it.
Pardon me?
They said 10 people have done it.
Dude, let me tell you something. They have a 58-ounce prime rib at this place, Totten's in Wexford, right by North Allegheny High School. They brought it in here once. I'd love for them to bring it in again. You know how many meals I got out of it?
I'd say four.
Four. Okay. Four. And I was full after every meal. It's amazing. All right, we'll see you at the rail yard in Bridgeville on Sunday. I barely work next week. Ha! I don't know why I just said ha, but I'm happy about it. Oh, Liverpool Monday. Come on, you Reds. That's why I'm off. 105.9.